Sarah Ji has been explaining about Samatha Nogahita from both theoretical and practical aspects for 2 days already. In order to develop Vipassana Samadhi and Magga Samadhi, in order to develop knowledge into cause and effect, and Vipassana knowledge, discerning the characteristics of impermanent and suffering and non-self, one needs to nurture one's practice. In nurturing the practice, Samatha Nogahita is very important. Samatha Nogahita consists of Viriya, Sati, and Samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. In the example of planting a mango tree, it is important to prevent pests from invading the plant. And if pests invade the plant, one should remove them right away. And also, one should remove the weeds and creepers that are growing around the plant so that the plant will grow into a big tree, giving flowers and fruit. Only then it will be worthy of planting the mango tree. And today, Saraji will continue to explain. Buddha taught the four satya, the four noble truths. Dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. Samudaya satya, the truth of origin of suffering. And Nirodha satya, the cessation of suffering and the cause of suffering. Magga satya, the truth of the path leading to cessation. Among these four noble truths, the first two are Lokiya satya, mundane truth, and the later two are Logodara satya, super mundane truth. So the first two are called Vata satya, and the later two are called Vivada satya. The first two are called Vata satya. Vata means continuous arising of cause and effect. Vivada means the cessation of the cause of suffering and the suffering. So the suffering will not rotate. The yogi who practices needs to work on the first two satya, the first two noble truths. One should know what is dukkha satya, and one should know what is samudaya satya. There should be ogaha. One should have learning. One should learn what are the two satya, dukkha satya and samudaya satya. And also, one should know what is rupa, what is nama. And also, one should know what are the most prominent rupa among these materiality. And one should know that there are only nama and rupa, mind and matter, that manifest in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, thinking. So one should know these briefly, and if one is not clear, there should be paripoja. One should ask, one should discuss how one should practice. And there should be savanna. One should listen to the instruction and guidance, how one should practice. And also, there should be dharana. Dharana means bearing in mind, so that one remembers deeply how one should practice. Samasana, meaning one should practice so that the noting mind will rub against the object, so that the noting will be effective. So one should learn in this way, and one should practice according to the guidance and instruction. The later two satya, the Logodara satya, the super mundane truth, it is sufficient if one knows the quality, of the Logodara satya. It will be sufficient just to know the meaning of the later two satya. Magganyana is the path knowledge that eradicates the defilements. And Palanyana calms the defilements that have been eradicated by Magganyana. By attaining Magganyana and Palanyana, by attaining path and fruition knowledge, one realizes Nibbana, the cessation. So it will be sufficient if one knows about the later two satya by this much. The first two noble truths, Dukkha satya and the Smudya satya, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, they are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are profound. Whatever that arises, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all of them are the truth of suffering. If the person is not mindful at the moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing, at the moment they arise, coming across desirable things, there will be lobha, greed. And based on lobha, one does good and bad deeds. Having done good and bad deeds lead to new existences, and new existences are also suffering. So the lobha, the craving, is the truth of suffering. Samudaya satya, the truth of suffering, which is craving, arises because one is not mindful at the moment dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, arising. Not being mindful, one does not discern. Not discerning, tatna, craving, arises. And tatna, craving, is the origin of suffering. Even though these first two satya are difficult to be discerned and thus they are profound, but one can discern them by being mindful in the way of satipatthana practice when these nama rupa phenomena are arising. And in the practice of Satipatthana, Samatha is very important. By noting the object, one comes to know the true nature. By being mindful at the moment the object arises, one is sure to know the true nature, the unique individual characteristics and common characteristics. And yogis who are practicing, they are discerning the true nature. Some of them may not be able to describe what they experience, but they are discerning the true nature by being mindful. So these two truths, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, they are difficult to be discerned and thus they are profound. In order to discern them, one should note whatever object that arises at the sixth sense door. One should be mindful of all these objects that are arising at the sixth sense door so that craving will not arise. By being mindful, one removes craving by discerning. If there is no discerning, there will be craving. By discerning, by knowing, craving is removed. The other two satya, the later two, Logodara satya, super mundane truth, they are profound and they are difficult to be discerned. So one does not need to work on the later two satya. What one needs to work on is the first two satya, dukkha satya and smudhiya satya, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. By being mindful at the moment the object arises, one is sure to know the true nature. So one should be mindful at the moment of rising, falling, sitting, touching, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, turning, opening and closing of the eyes, blinking, thinking. One should be mindful of all these objects with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness. Noting these objects with sustained mindfulness, samatha will develop continuously, and the mind will be free from the defilements. The nivarana hindrances such as kama chanda, sensual desire, and these hindrances hinder that the wholesome mind cannot arise. So these hindrances should be removed by cultivating viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. One has to remove these hindrances. By removing the hindrances, when the mind is free from these hindrances, kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strengthened. And one comes to discern the nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement, by noting the object. By noting the object with aim and effort, when the noting mind reaches the object, one comes to know the nature, such as hardness, softness, warmth, heat, cold, lightness, heaviness, stiffness, tension, movement, fluidity, and so on. So by being mindful at the moment the object arises, one comes to know the unique individual characteristics of the nama and rupa. When the mind falls on rupa, one comes to discern the nature of rupa. When the noting mind falls on nama, one comes to know the nature of nama. So by being mindful, the hindrances that hinder the wholesome mind, the nirvana hindrances that hinder the knowledge from arising, will be removed. By discerning the unique individual characteristics, one will also discern udaya and vaya, arising and dissolution of these characteristics. By discerning the unique individual characteristics, one will also come to discern the arising and passing away, and thus one also comes to discern the common characteristics of arising and passing away. By practicing, one will come to discern in that manner. Even though the truths are difficult to be discerned and thus profound, but by being mindful, one discerns, and these truths will be prominent by discerning them. The example is given here. If an object is put on the palm of the hand, one can see it clearly. In the same way, by the practice of vipassana, when the vipassana becomes strong, one comes to discern clearly, and one develops knowledge. The knowledge becomes mature, and finally one realizes nibbana by magga phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge. How knowledge arises is mentioned, and it is quite noteworthy. Gambiro pitamo paripakha vidamanena supagato bhaveya. Meaning that even though the Dhamma is profound, but by destroying, removing the opposite mental states, the Dhamma become very prevalent, very obvious to the person by removing these hindrances. The Dhamma means the Dhamma which are Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering. Patipakha are the hindrances that hinder knowledge from arising, that one does not know what is dukkha, the suffering, what is mudya, the origin of suffering. The hindrances such as kama chanda, sensual desire, hinder knowledge from arising so that one does not know these truths. But by destroying, by removing these hindrances, the nama rupa will be discerned. The nama rupa will be prevalent, prominent to the person when the person removes these hindrances. These dhamma, gambiro, they are profound, but when these hindrances which weaken the knowledge are removed, these dhamma will be profound, and knowledge arises by removing these hindrances. The patipakha, the opposite mental states, which are the hindrances. So by removing these hindrances with viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, these dhammas will become prominent and obvious. By removing the hindrances, by viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, removal of these hindrances are connected with the cause. Patipakha vidamanampana sama patipati patipatta, meaning that removal of these hindrances are dependent on the systematic practice. Meaning that without the systematic practice, the hindrances cannot be destroyed. Hindrances cannot be removed. So yogis should know that one should be practicing systematically. One should note the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen concurrently. In order to note these objects concurrently, one should assert ardent effort in the practice, applying the jhanic factor of vitakka, applying, directing the noting mind onto the object. When the noting is concurrent, when mindfulness is sustained on the object, rising and falling of the abdomen, the mind falls calm and collected on the object, and the mind will not be agitated by raga. The mind is free from these hindrances. So one should practice so that the mind will be free from these hindrances. One should have bhavana, the development of the mind, where one develops, cultivates, so that the wholesome mind will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. One should practice systematically so that the noting mind will be concurrent with the object. One should practice respectfully, continuously, without stopping, without any gaps in between. So removal of these hindrances are dependent on systematic practice, practicing respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly. One should not be practicing flippantly in an easygoing manner. One should not be stopping in between. One should keep the mindfulness continuous so that one can remove the hindrances that are following throughout one's life. And one should practice according to the guidance and instruction, noting with ardent effort. One should always be alert, active, ready in noting. One should not be slow and sluggish. Practicing thus, sati mindfulness will be sustained. Mindfulness sticks onto the object. There will be sustained mindfulness. The mind will not run elsewhere. The mind will not be agitated. The mind falls calm and collected on the object. And it is said that the removal of these hindrances are dependent on systematic practice. One should have the systematic practice. So when practicing, it is important to know, important to practice systematically. So if the person just think that I know how to practice, and if they don't listen to the Dhamma talk, if they don't listen to the instruction and guidance, they will not be able to practice systematically. So one should listen to the Dhamma talk, the instructions and guidance, in order to practice systematically. Sa sadhamma savana dina, meaning that the systematic practice is connected with the listening, learning of the Dhamma. In order to remove the nivarana hindrances, one should practice systematically. The systematic practice is connected with the learning of the Dhamma, learning of the instructions and guidance. So in the practice of Satipatthana, one should know the correct method of practice, how one should be practicing. And the correct way of practice is to be mindful of every object, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, with diligent effort. And when unpleasant sensations arise, one should note diligently without regard to one's body and life. Even though the person has eyes to see, the person should not look here and there during the practice. Even though the person has ears, one should not pay attention to what he, she hears. Even though the person may have general knowledge, but the person should not be reflecting on this theory, but one should practice diligently according to the guidance. Even though the person is strong and healthy, yogi should move slowly like a sickly person. When sitting down, standing up, one should do slowly and mindfully. And Saraji says that some of the yogis are doing things quickly, abruptly. And Saraji says that some of the yogis going into the restroom fast. So yogis should slow down and do things mindfully. So the instructions and guidance are given that yogis should practice respectfully, meticulously, and they should follow accurately, precisely, according to the guidance given. Systematic practice is connected with learning, listening to the Dhamma, the instructions and guidance. So if the person does not listen to the instructions, the person will not be able to practice systematically. Not being able to practice systematically, the person will not be able to remove the hindrances. Not removing the hindrances, the Dhamma that are profound will not be discerned. By listening to the Dhamma, one will have faith and confidence in the practice, and one will also have faith and confidence in the benefits of the practice. Not listening to the Dhamma, one will not know the virtue of the Dhamma. One will not have faith and confidence in the teacher teaching the Dhamma. And also one will not have faith and confidence in the practice, and one will not believe in the benefits of the practice, and thus the person practices flippantly in an easygoing manner. Dan satri dhamme ca pasada yatta. meaning that in order to listen to the Dhamma, one must have faith and confidence in the Buddha who led the way, and also the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha. Satipatthana practice is practiced by the Buddha himself. Buddha himself practiced this way, and Buddha was purified by practicing this way. It is not just the theory, but it is practical. It is practiced by the Buddha. If one is reluctant to have faith and confidence in the Buddha personally, one should have the practice in the Dhamma. One should have faith and confidence that by practicing according to the Dhamma, one will gain benefits accordingly. And one should have faith and confidence in the practice. One should practice accordingly. By practicing accordingly, through the practice, one will gain more faith and confidence that it is correct. By practicing, when one develops knowledge, one comes to acceptance, confirmation that this practice is right. So one should ask oneself whether he, she really has faith and confidence in the practice. If the person is not listening to the Dhamma talk, the instructions, then the person will not be able to know the correct method of practice. Not knowing the correct method of practice, the person cannot practice systematically. The person will not be removing the hindrances, and thus the person will not discern the profound Dhamma. So one should listen attentively to the instructions, the guidance. One should practice according to these instructions systematically so that one will be removing the hindrances, and thus the Dhamma that is profound will become obvious by discerning. By developing knowledge, one will be cultivating the sadha, faith and confidence that has been awakened. When developing knowledge stage by stage, the faith and confidence will become stronger and stronger, firmer and firmer. And finally, the person will come to acceptance, confirmation that this practice is right. And his or her faith and confidence will become firm, steady, and unshakable. When the person gets to the stage, even if other persons of other beliefs persuade him or her, but the person will not be shaken. So it is very important to listen to the Dhamma talk, to listen to the guidance and instruction in order to practice systematically. So, Visesato Loke Sambhavaniya Sa Guru Gatapa Sa Abhipathana Hetuko, meaning that the faith and confidence arises when the person is encouraged by the respected, praiseworthy person. So usually, if a respected, praiseworthy person encourages, then the person will have this motivation in the practice. The person will be motivated to have faith and confidence. So one should Listen attentively to the instruction so that one can practice systematically. By practicing systematically, the hindrances will be removed. By removing the hindrances, one can discern the Dhamma that is profound. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu.